Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Welcome to visitors. Sorry, I didn't catch up with you earlier. So good to have you with us. Where are you from?
Sedba.
All right. Not so very far then. Lovely to have you, and good to have Frank and Pat back. So good also to have Mark Thomas with us this morning. If you kind of recognise the name, of course, Andy was a fairly regular visitor for quite a while until he disappeared off to Canada, which made it a bit of a long trek. So Mark is big brother and will be speaking to us today. Let's pray. Father, it's such a privilege to come and meet with you this morning. Father, it's a privilege also to have fellowship together. Father, it's a privilege to know that you will touch us by your Holy Spirit, because that is what you desire. And Lord, that's what we desire too. We want to be touched by your Holy Spirit, to draw closer to you in our worship, to listen to you as you teach us this morning. We ask, Father, today that you would anoint the words of Scripture that Mark brings to us, and that we would be open to receive whatever it is you are saying to each one of us. Father, we love you. We worship you. We want to know you better. May this be today another step towards you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Tom's going to bring us our first reading, which you can find in the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31, beginning at verse 31, which is on page 793.
The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant that I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbour or say to one another, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. This is what the Lord says. He who appoints the sun to shine by day, who decrees the moon and stars to shine by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, the Lord Almighty is his name. Only if these decrees vanish from my sight, declares the Lord, will Israel ever cease being a nation before me. This is what the Lord says. Only if the heavens above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth below be searched out, will I reject all the descendants of Israel, because of all they have done, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Great is thy faithfulness. It's evident in that reading, isn't it? Our second reading this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. You can find that on page 1207, 1207. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at the first verse. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeatedly, endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once for all, and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased." Then I said, "Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God." "First," he said, "sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made." Then he said, "Here I am. I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This is the word of God. I'm going to hand over to Mark.
Morning, everyone. It's very good to see you.
Very good to see you too.
Thank you much. I was hoping I'd get that kind of response. I'm sorry that I'm not Mills. My last name isn't Mills, nor is it Miss. Because Angela, as you know, had another commitment, so asked me if I wouldn't mind coming, and I don't mind coming and seeing your smiling faces, which I see this morning. So thank you for the opportunity, and I'm sure that the Lord is very gracious to us. He is, isn't he? Good. That's encouraging to hear. Well, I wonder if you know where you are. Do you know where you are? I'm going to show you something. That's not where you are. I've gone backwards. So I'm going to show you somewhere else. And I think you'll see it. Do you know where you are?
Yes?
There was, you're here. There was a little boy who was with his dad in the city, and they came to the place where you see this sign. You know, you get a city map, and when his dad pointed out this sign, "You are here," the little boy says, "How did they know?" I thought that was a great comment, a great capture of that. Obviously, we know where we are this morning, and I found that on your website, correct? You know that is, and I see it up there somewhere on the other notice board. So we're here, aren't we?
Yeah.
Is it encouraging to be here?
Yes.
Yeah. It is. Well, I also, if you remember a day in history not too long ago, for many of us, but for some of us, yeah, before our time, something took place, and I don't know if you remember this picture and what it came from. Remember where that picture came from? Yeah, this is the moon, and that is, as we know, Earth, where we are, because you remember in 1969, we all remember those who happened to be alive at the time, 1969, something took place, and it was actually 50 years ago this month. And you're here. So we know exactly where we are, don't we? And what is remarkable too is that God knows exactly where we are. One of my favourite passages is this one in Hebrews, because it's a great Christmas passage. And it tells us in that passage, when Christ came into the world, he said, Now, does anybody know what he said without looking at your Bible? Because you've just read it. When Christ came into the world, he said, I've got you. You weren't reading with me or with Chris. Yeah, he said, sacrifice an offering you did not desire. Oops, did I go forward rather than backwards? And he said, here I am. And that is a fantastic thing to know, that the Lord Jesus Christ was able to say, here I am. And he's right where we are. Now, remember that phrase, I've come to do your will, O God. And in that passage, and I'll read it again, therefore when Christ came into the world, he said. Christ is the name given to the anointed one. It means anointed one, doesn't it? But Christ didn't have something before he came into the world. What was he didn't have? A body. And he received a gift at Christmas. Wonderful gift. A gift we know has its implications upon each one of us. And he says in that verse, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me with burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am, it is written about me in the scroll, I have come to do your will, O God. Fascinating. And we know that heaven rejoiced 2,000 years ago, didn't it? But can you imagine what heaven knew about what was to happen? Did the angels know? I'm not sure they did, because we read in 1 Peter, they were amazed that such a thing would happen. Someone who was equal with God would become submitted to God. That's the remarkable thing, because he says, I, Jesus, who is the Christ, I come to do your will. Remarkable, isn't it? Would you say that's an amazing thing? We all have to come to that conclusion. It's remarkable. The Eternal One, who takes upon himself flesh and blood, then is prepared to say, I've come, O God, to do your will. What did he mean when he said in that verse, I've come to do your will? We have a phrase in English, and we use it frequently, and I'm going to show it to you in a moment. But just in case you have an opportunity to read today, the parallel passage, or the passage from which this passage in Hebrews came, it's actually in the book of Psalms 40. In other words, what was put into the mouth of the man who wrote the psalm, David, is now in the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Years and years before. It's a great passage. I haven't got time to look at it. But anyway, where there's a will, there's a way. Absolutely. What else do we put down? Where there's a will, there's a... Sorry?
Relative.
A relative. That's right. Or more. Right? Where there's an I will, there's a... A wedding or a marriage. Yeah, a wedding is probably the better way, because I wills don't always go. So where there's a will, there's a way. Where there's a will, and what we find is the word will has various connotations. Let me read it to you again. Then he said, here I am, I've come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. So I'm standing in the way, aren't I? Never mind, you should do it in your Bible. And by that will we've been... Oops. It seems to be doing its own thing today. Where there's a will, there's a way. And here we have that passage which we read in Hebrews chapter 10. And by that will we've been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus once for all. Let me ask you, what happens, and it's happening all the time, when the situation comes and someone dies? There's confirmation of the death, and there's a death certificate, isn't there, given? Then what? There's a register of that death, isn't there? And then what? Arrangements for the funeral. But then comes something else. And what comes next? there's a will. That can be quite complicated, can't it, as we know. We said, where there's a will, there's a relative. What's amazing about what Jesus said when he came into the world, or what Christ said, because Christ didn't have what Christ needed, and that was the body. What did he say? He said, I've come to do your will. Now what's fascinating is what we read in the previous chapter of the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. And let me read it to you. What happens when you have a will is that there's an executor, and he has to fulfill the instructions of the deceased. And what we'll read in verse 26 in a moment of that is that a will is made, a will is then executed, as it were, and the responsibility of the executor is to put into fulfillment the will of the deceased. It could be contested, and you can have all that. And that is a bit sad, isn't it? Anybody know that's happened? Probably all of us. Well, look at what it says in verse 26 of the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire, and will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected... You know what, I'm reading the wrong chapter, my apologies. It's chapter 9 and verse 16. I turned the page on. Let me read to you from verse 16, sorry about that. In the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it, because a will is in force only when somebody has died. It never takes effect while the one who made it is living. This is why even the first covenant was not put into effect without blood. What is amazing about the life of Jesus? That he wrote his will before he was born. He also died, and guess who became the executor of his will? He did. Do you find that remarkable? There could be no one to question it. Because the Lord Jesus rose again, didn't he? To put into fulfillment his will. And we're in that will. You realize that? Isn't that amazing? So we this morning can enjoy that which he's fulfilled. Amazing story, really. Amazing, if an impact that has upon us, surely. The one who made the will executed it, became the executive of your will, because he had the right to do, for he didn't stay dead, he rose again from the dead. We're the benefactors of what's beyond our wildest dreams, aren't we? And we're in the will, if we have got a part in the family. If we're his sons and daughters, then we have an inheritance which goes beyond our wildest dreams. What do we have to secure that? Well, we have his resurrection. We have his word that promises it. We know that. We have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, who confirms for us that which is exactly what the Lord Jesus came to accomplish. What qualified Jesus to be able to write his own will and fulfill it? That's important, because in the case of a will, it's necessary to prove the death of one who made it. Did he die? Yes. Did he rise again from the dead? What qualified Jesus to be the executor of his own will? You can talk to me. What qualified him?
He was equal with God, and he was the anointed one.
Equal with God, the anointed one, yeah. Remember, when he came into the world, Christ said, a body you gave to me. And how long did he live in that body? 30 some years. And what was his life like? Was it okay? Any questions at all about how he lived and what he did? No. In fact, he lived day by day for 33 years doing what? God's will. I have come to do your will. And he did it. Through the power and presence of the Spirit of God in his life. In his humanity. He lived for 33 years. For Jesus said, my food is what? To do the will of him who sent me. We know that verse so well from the Gospel of John. And to finish his work. And he who sent me is with me. He's not left me alone. For I always do... What? I always do his will. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet... What's the next words in that verse? Without sin. Did he fulfill the will of God?
Yes.
Perfectly. That's what qualified him for the death he died. Therefore, he couldn't stay dead. And that's the beauty of what we read in the scriptures and what is important for us this morning. Do you want God's will for your life?
Yes.
Yes. You may say, well, actually, is it referring to what I'm going to, my vocation? Become a teacher? You say, I'm not quite sure I'm going to, I'm not quite that age yet. Or I'm too old. Have I not done God's will? Well, actually, there's more to it than meets the eye, isn't there? About God's will. Fascinating, because when we think about it, the will of God isn't just a vocation, is it? And the will of God in the life of Jesus was not just a vocation. The vocation he had, it's something else. Well, let me ask you this question. And all of us would say, I want God's will for my life. Let me ask you this one. Do you want to know what God's will is for your life? Anybody want to know what God's will is for their life? Two so far. Four. Let me ask you another question. Do you want me to tell you what God's will is for your life?
If you can.
Ooh. Who is this standing up here this morning? On the authority of the Word of God, I can tell you what God's will is for your life and mine. So, how can you do that? Because the Bible tells us. Not primarily about vocation, but as with the Lord Jesus Christ, his life, how he lived. And the Bible is so clear that it's not just vocation, is it? So, let me give you various references. What does it say in 1 Thessalonians 5:16? And you'll know this. Anybody know what that verse says? Because there are several verses in the Bible that say, this is the will of God for us. So I'm not telling you what the will of God is for you. I am, but it's God is telling you. Anybody know what the verse says? Let me show it to you, what it says. Be what?
Joyful
always. I'm not saying that word is happy, because happiness isn't always joy, is it? It also says there, pray without ceasing. Oh no, you mean I have to be on my knees all the time? It also says, give thanks to all circumstances. Is that easy? No, but I guess what the rest of the verse says. For this is God's will for you all in Christ Jesus. Did Jesus have difficult circumstances? Yeah. That's just a few. In all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Taken, gone into the wilderness. Even God permitted that. And tempted. And then he faced what we know is the horrific death of man on a cross. But even more was what he bore in his body. But you know what he said? It says in Hebrews also, for the what that was set before him? For the
joy.
The joy that was set before him. And you and I are his joy this morning. Because we know that he accomplished all that was necessary to make it possible for us to have his life. That's the first one. Anybody think of any other verses where it talks about God's will? Should we spend the rest of the day here looking at it? How about this one, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 21. I'll get out of the way of the screen and read with you. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. What is the Lord's will in chapter 5, verse 15? Fascinating. It says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be... This is God's will for us, to be filled with His Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 to 8. It is God's will that you be sanctified. What does sanctified mean?
To make clean, purified.
Yeah, to be clean or to be purified. And we know the word that's used in the Old Testament when they took all those different instruments and vessels from the temple, and it says they sanctified them. And it says sanctify yourselves. Now, actually, it's fascinating that in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, if you go back there with me, the word sanctified is used twice. And it's used in a couple of different ways. Chapter 10, I trust I get this right. And it says, verse 10 of chapter 10, and by that will we have been made holy, or we are sanctified, through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus once for all. We've been made holy. We are declared right with God and righteous. But then it says, interestingly enough, in the further verse, it says in verse, we'll get it right in a moment. Read verse 13. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice he's made perfect forever those who are being made holy. So there's also that process of being set apart for his purpose. So that's God's will for us, isn't it? To be sanctified and be sanctified, or be being sanctified, that we're set apart daily for that which He wants to use us for, to do His will. So we find that in 1 Thessalonians 4, 1-8, also this, that you should avoid sexual immorality, for God did not call us to be impure but to live a holy life. That is a strong statement, isn't it? That we might be those who don't live for our own selfish desires. So three things about God's will for you and for me. Be reminded of this morning. A couple more. 1 Peter 2:15. What does it say there? For it's God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but as servants of, live as servants of God. Servants of God. What does a servant do? What his master tells him. So obedience to someone we love. Is that right? What a great privilege we have. And the Lord Jesus himself, not he's the example only of example, he is, because he submitted himself in obedience to his Father and was prepared because of his great love for him to do what he said. How can we do God's will? By submitting ourselves in obedience to the one we love. Who's the one we love this morning? What's his name?
Jesus.
Jesus. All that he's accomplished on our behalf, that we might fulfill his will and purpose. One last one. Therefore, my dear friends, and it's the use of the word will, as you have always obeyed, not only my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What? Will you be frightened of God? That's a beautiful word, that word fear. When you look at it in the context of the whole of the Bible, the recognition of who he is and submitting to the wonderful power that all is his and the life that he has. For it's God who works in you to what? To will and act, according to his purpose. So we come before him again this morning and say, Lord, I want your will in my life, and you have to will it through me to your glory. Is it worth doing the will of God?
Yes.
Somehow I think it is. Because it will glorify his name. Just as the Son himself. He pleased the Father. And we surely want to be pleasing to the one who pleased the Father. Remember that picture at the beginning? You are here. Heron Hill. What's the date? Last of June 2019. That's where we are. Who else is there? The Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I want you to do my will. Here I am. You know that song? Here I am. What? Holy. Available. Holy? Yeah, we're set apart. Holy meaning all that we are because of what he is. Holy, available to do your will. Hey, we couldn't be better privileged, could we? And enabled. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning that we can look at your word and see the wonder of all you've accomplished. Thank you for who you are. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were prepared to take upon yourself, humanity, and come and accomplish all that God had in mind. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your death and for your resurrection, and that you have done it to the very jot and tittle fulfillment of your word. And wonderfully, you've become executor of your own will. So we pray we may be those who live in the good of that day by day and are a means of blessing to others as we too, filled by your Spirit, express that which is of your character and nature and life. We thank you that though life isn't straightforward, difficult isn't it isn't easy, the challenges come. We'll be those who are constantly thankful, constantly prayerful. And may your joy fill us even today in the midst of things that aren't always straightforward or easy. Thank you, Lord, for your great love and for the fellowship we enjoy in your presence. And we pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
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 Let's share the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all and more. Amen.